After decades of missteps, Buffalo is finally experiencing a renaissance along the waterfront. All this week, we've explored renewed life along the Buffalo River. I'm Jay Moran.
And I'm Eileen Buckley. In our final installment of If Our Water Could Talk, we explore how the city's waterfront is now the catalyst inspiring future economic development called Rust to Blue.
I would say within 3 years, we'll have something dramatically different than we have now.
Robert Gioia is chairman of the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation. The corporation has been a major force in creating Buffalo's new blue economy.
We'll see most of the dust and the cranes gone, and we'll start to see continual activity of tweaking, if you will. I don't think our work will ever be done because I think the needs and the demands and the interests in the community are going to change as well.
Four major construction projects, totaling nearly $300 million, are occurring within just a few blocks of one another along the waterfront, all in less than 2 years.
Right now, you've got a war zone of activity, if you will. Once that's done, and once we start gradually increasing public access to the outer harbor and accessibility, it will be a continually updating, reevaluating, and adjusting to the needs of the community to create that excitement.
Rust to Blue is finally becoming a reality as the Buffalo Riverkeeper continues water cleanup, all against the backdrop of new waterfront development.
Water issues are integrated into all the decisions that are being made.
Riverkeeper Executive Director Jill Jedlicka notes it's important to keep an eye on these major changes so we do not allow new economic growth to pollute our waterways again.
That, at its simplest form, we are an incredible moment in time for our region. We have a responsibility as a steward of 20% of the world's fresh water that flows through past our front door every day. We have to be responsible for that.
But the next critical challenge ahead is with the city's wastewater treatment, dealing with a 100-year-old combined system that mixes sanitary flow merging with surface runoff.
In a normally functioning system, that's fine. The sanitary waste goes to the wastewater treatment plant, and then the stormwater runoff gets either filtered or put back into the local waterways or the groundwater. But our system in Western New York was designed as a combined system. So whenever there is a significant rainfall, and significant meaning a quarter inch or greater, of rainfall or heavy snow melt, it inundates the system of pipes. Not the treatment plant, the pipes.
It's a significant challenge. Many older cities have the same problem, places like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Chicago. Thousands of miles of pipes transport waste to treatment facilities. Jedlicka says this will be a step-by-step piece of river cleanup.
It's a 100-year-old challenge that the current sewer authority inherited, and we have actually a state-of-the-art sewage treatment plant. It has the capacity. It's a timing issue of when the water gets to the system.
Many municipalities are working with state and federal governments looking at long-term plans to replace pipes or create large underground storage to sustain systems. In other words, green infrastructure.
Traditionally, gray infrastructure is concrete, culverts, pipes, that type of thing. Green infrastructure is utilizing nature's natural systems to manage your stormwater overflow.
And many stakeholders are working with the Buffalo Sewer Authority to create better green infrastructure to make it all work in the city.
And with green infrastructure, it could be something as simply as preserving a 10-acre wetland that can store stormwater and it can let it infiltrate back into the ground before it hits the system, and it won't inundate the system. So it's the old adage of an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Buffalo River cleanup and new economic development is increasing water recreation. There's now kayaking, canoeing, and more boating than ever. From the late 1890s to the 1920s, rowing was a major competitive water sport along the river, originally tied to the grain mills, with 12 to 13 rowing clubs. But rowing changed with the decline of our waterfront, with fewer ships and closing grain mills. However, in recent years, the cleanup by the Army Corps of Engineers of the riverbed area has allowed for new rowing.
We currently have, between adults, learn to row, masters, youth, different high schools we have down here. We have approximately 300 people rowing here.
Mark Kachewski is president and chair of the Buffalo Scholastic Rowing Association.
When we opened, we had, I think, four boats and 30 people. And now we have over 60 rowing shells. We're out of space here. We have to actually store our shells, some of our shells off-site in the warehouse, and 300 people. And I anticipate over the next 2 years that'll go to 400 to 500 people.
Water quality improvement could also make the river swimmable. The return of recreational use on our waterway is invigorating for many citizens. It's renewed meaning to their water activity. Shelley Brown of Buffalo likes to fish and kayak.
So anytime I get to go out and fish and not catching seaweed or any other stuff, garbage or whatever, it's nice to see.
Yep. What's the best part of being in the water when you're down there? Just that kind
I think
of freedom?
I think just being by yourself and looking down and actually seeing down clear.
And as the water meets the shoreline, major brownfield cleanup is underway, restoring prime waterfront land in the Queen City.
Cleaning that up, repurposing it for a brand new campus.
Martin Doster is regional remediation engineer with the State Department of Environmental Conservation. One of the biggest economic boosts to waterfront property could be the development of Riverbend. The state is investing $225 million to help create a campus center of clean energy on a former brownfield where the former Republic Steel and Hannah Koch once stood in South Buffalo along the city's waterfront.
Where you're going to have high-end manufacturing, but also opportunities to live, work, and play in that area. Very exciting trail systems going up and down the river, both in water and on upland areas.
Two California-based companies will set up at Riverbend, and the project is expected to create 850 new jobs. But keeping all this new economy from contaminating our waters again will be key to preserving our precious resource throughout the Buffalo-Niagara region. We asked some of our stakeholders and citizens, if our water could talk, what would it say?
Well, it depends. It would be talking to its grandfather in 1968 when the water caught on fire, right? So Buffalo River has come a long way from the 1960s and early 70s when the river was declared dead. And I think the river would be telling us right now, keep up the good work. We can be so much more productive. The environment can be so much more productive, especially in the economic side. And I think people are just starting to realize what the environment can do economically for a city on a Great Lake.
I think it would say thank you to a whole host of people who are working hard. Thank you for caring, and thank you for improving me. I think that's what what the water would say.
Thank you. That's probably what I would think. I think they do a really nice job, especially down at Small Boat Harbor with all this that seaweed thing and everything else and cleaning up.
If our water could talk, what would it say?
I guess it would give a big thank you, especially now that I see the kayakers and the boaters here all the time using it a lot more.
And now we want to hear from you. If you have a smartphone, record a 30-second answer to our question. If our water could talk, what would it say? Email it to news@wbfo.org or post it on the WBFO Facebook or Twitter pages.
And please keep your responses short, and we'll try to use it on air and online for a future story about if our water could talk. For WBFO News, I'm Eileen Buckley.
And I'm Jay Morant.